And for some reason, we tend to build our prisons and our military installations on those sites that were the most prominent sites of the ancient civilizations. Every time you find a series of Indian burial mounds of any size, for some reason there's a penitentiary, a prison across the street or on top of it, or a military base, or in some cases a nuclear waste facility. And so I had to do a lot of research on ancient American prehistory before the arrival of the Europeans and try to find out what these mounds represented. And they were quite often burial mounds, but they were also aligned astronomically. They were ritual mounds at times used for, much in the same way Stonehenge was thought to have been used, and built at around the same time or even earlier. So Lovecraft used to write a great deal about primitive societies living in America before the Europeans came. And even then he wrote about maybe druidic ceremonies taking place, ancient European pagans visiting the shores of the New World and conducting all sorts of hideous sacrifices, according to Lovecraft. Lovecraft actually, although perhaps not knowing it, was writing about something genuine. There were various strange rituals being performed in the in America back before the time of Columbus, and there were European visitors to America before the time of Columbus, and there were pagan sites that had been set up. So I felt there was a connection there, that maybe America is itself a kind of haunted house. I believe that there was a conscious attempt to tap into these forces by our own government back beginning in 1950. Roughly since the Korean War period of the 1950s until now, we have been operating on people. We've been using violent offenders in our prison systems as guinea pigs for drug experimentation, for behavior modification experimentation. And I think in doing that, they were looking in the same parts of the mind that magicians did and mystics and shamans, people who undergo initiation. And my thesis is that the people who were victims of the mind control experiments were actually being, in a sense, initiated, and yet without any of the normal spiritual safeguards. They were being initiated by people who didn't know what they were doing. We've been using all sorts of people that whose identities we no longer know because all the documents were shredded by the CIA. So we have people walking the streets, perhaps, who have been undergoing this psychic process, this subconscious process of initiation, who are now essentially black magicians walking in the streets, people who have tapped unconscious forces, who've had these forces tapped for them by the CIA or by the other intelligence agencies. And now they're uncontrolled, not knowing what's happening to them, and possibly responsible for some of our more horrific crimes.
Sidney Gottlieb, who was the overall head of the MKUltra program, in hundreds of experiments, he personally gave LSD to numerous people, including prison inmates, because essentially they could argue. And one of these included the mob boss, Whitey Bulger, who actually complained of headaches, hallucinations and nightmares for the rest of his life. And basically, Whitey Bulger was an extremely violent Irish mob boss. The question that I ask is, was this personality the result of MKUltra experiments? And the question that I further ask is, was this personality the desired result of these MKUltra experiments? I mean, what better way to impose fear on a society than to provide the occasional celebrity terrorizer? And then obviously we all go running to the police for them to protect us. Now, Bulger actually complained that he and other inmates believed that they were helping in a medical study to find a cure for schizophrenia. And Bulger also stated that he was recruited by deception. So why do I think that this was done on purpose? Well, interestingly, Bulger served as an FBI informant since as early as 1975. Now, seemingly, Whitey Bulger was able to act with impunity in return for information given to the authorities concerning the Patriarca Mafia crime family. Now, on December 1994, Bulger actually fled his hometown of Boston and went into hiding after receiving a direct tip-off from the FBI that basically the police were after him for a pending RICO Act indictment, which would have meant certain imprisonment for Bulger. Thanks to the FBI, Whitey Bulger escaped imprisonment for a further 16 years. When he was eventually captured last year, he was indicted for a total of 19 murders.
George Jackson and a number of other black inmates had become very active in organizing and raising the political consciousness of black inmates in California prisons during the 60s and 1970s.
When the radicals began to be locked up and began talking politics with the other prisoners, in many cases radicalizing or at least politicizing the prisoners, the California police and government authorities began taking an interest in the prisons, however, not the kind of interests that most of the prisoners would have liked, and the prison system itself became a sort of a testing grounds for a new breed of psychological warfare.
Three Harvard professors, Dr. Sweet, Dr. Mark, and Dr. Irvin, put forward the proposition that riots and civil disobedience may be sparked by individuals who unfortunately may be carriers of damaged brain cells. When under stress of such emotionally high-pitched confrontations as street demonstrations, these people will run amok, become assaultive, and precipitate acts of violence. The Harvard trio presented their view in a letter to the Journal of the American Medical Association, which appeared under the headline, quote, Role of Brain Disease in Riots and Urban Violence.
Well, Louis Jolyon West, friend of Aldous Huxley, key CIA LSD researcher, is an interesting fellow.
Dr. West came under a lot of scrutiny during his time as chief of psychiatry at UCLA because he was proposing using prisoners, the general community, poor people, minorities, as test subjects. And then West's career continues to flourish through the 80s, and he continues his research into hypnosis, branches out into terrorism and cults, even consulting and later writing about the Waco massacre. The record clearly shows that Dr. Jolyon West consulted Timothy McVeigh's defense team. Dr. West had previously been psychiatrist and consulted for Patty Hearst, Saran Saran, and Jack Ruby.
One of the major reasons why they had the concentration camps was Mengele had to work out the very detailed specifics on how much trauma you could give to a person of a specific weight, a sex. So in the 1950s, they were perfecting this total mind control on a scientific basis with individuals. In the 1960s, you'll start seeing cults like the Jim Jones cult and other cults using mind control with small groups. And then from the 60s into the 70s, they started working towards controlling entire nations.
If you look around, all the Mason temples in America are up for sale.
There has been a decline.
Well, I don't think it's due to a decline. I think they're ready to lay this country flat, and they're liquidating their assets.
Well, I say what you mean.
There's an interesting perspective that comes out of many studies in psychiatric anthropology, which suggests that mental illness is not just a standardized, invarying thing, like diabetes, for example. Diabetes is always the same wherever you are in the world, but mental illness seems to take different forms. Once a person takes leave of reality, once a person abandons the ship of fools, the form that the psychosis takes is often dictated or at least shaped by the dominant culture. Thus, for example, in traditional Ojibwe society, where there was a belief that once a person went insane, this is the Wendigo psychosis, that he or she might eat human flesh. And thus a proportion of people who, feeling that they've left reality, no longer feeling control, begin to act out the particular form of psychosis that their culture is aware of. Multiple murderers tend to differ from conventional single murderers. The ordinary murderer is very uniform everywhere in the industrial world. He's very much a bottom of the working class figure. He's addicted to drugs or alcohol. He has no education or professional qualifications. This is the sort of person who, in a fit of rage, kills a friend or a lover. Multiple murders are a little different. They tend to be more edging towards the middle class in their origins and in their aspirations. And a part of their agenda, of their motivation, is that they devoutly wish to join a higher class but come to feel excluded.